Amen. Hey, I will try to be a little bit sensitive for your sakes, but I want to just kind of tell you a little bit of what this church is a part of and why what God is doing here is, I think, very kingdom-minded and is what God is doing around the world. The message of, hopefully we got it up here, okay? The title of my sermon today is called The Hope of the World. And again, I think in your minds right now, you're probably going to come up with the wrong conclusion. But I will tell you right now, Jesus is the hope of the world. But see, Jesus has entrusted the church with the message of the gospel. And the hope of the world is that people will come to know Christ through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who he's entrusted with that message is the church. So I'm going to start out really quickly. The hope of the world is the local church. Now, when I was preparing to leave, I was pulling out of my neighborhood, like Leland, which I heard you guys had 15 inches of rain. Guys, that is, wow. That is, what Chris was telling me, that's not a 100-year flood. That's a 1,000-year flood. I mean, you just walked through. And again, the church that Heath is talking about is the pastor's name is Jimmy Kearns, who was also sent out from Grace Church. They're running about 400, is that right? Sent out from Grace Church. And he was our worship leader, youth pastor. And he was on a missions trip. And he just felt like God spoke to him about Heath taking over the youth ministry. And so Heath... We poured into Heath. Jimmy poured into Heath. We choked him, kept him. No. Heath is a great guy, Heath and Jody. So they kind of grew up at Grace Church. I personally mentored and discipled Heath. And guys, that kind of concept is what Jesus did. Amen?
Amen?
Now, when I was pulling out of my neighborhood, it was pouring down rain, and I turned right out of my neighborhood, and I noticed a young man, probably 22, 25 years of age, walking down the street in just a torrential downpour. So he was on the other side of the highway, so I crossed the medium, turned around, and I just said, hey, son, you want to, or young man, you want to ride? And he kind of looked at me a little bit, and he walked up, and he was just kind of dizzy, or just kind of like, what are you saying? I said, do you want to ride? I mean, it's raining, you're soaked. So I got in my car, and the first thing I noticed that he didn't have any shoes on. And I'm going, uh-oh, what have I done here? And I started talking to him. I says, where are you headed? And he said, Montgomery County. Now, he was headed in the wrong direction. I said, well, son, you're headed in the wrong direction. And I says, well, let me get you going at least in the right direction. And so... He says, can you give me a ride? I said, well, where are you going? He said, Candor, which is, wow, a long ways away. I said, no. I said, just out of curiosity, how is it that you're walking in the rain, headed in the wrong direction, with no shoes on? And he said, well, someone pulled a prank on me. And I'm going, there has to be more to this story than what's going on here. So I turned around, took him back, got him on the highway, took him to a store. And I asked him what size his shoes I'd packed to come here. And I'm going, man, maybe I can give him one of my shoes. And he said, well, I wear 10, I wear 8.5. I said, well, that's not going to work. so I said, well, I took him to a little store, a little convenience store or something. And I said, well, I gave him $10. I said, I didn't even ask him if he had money. I could tell he didn't. And I said, well, why don't you go see if you can buy a pair of flip-flops. Put him on my phone, tried to call whoever could come pick him up. Because where he's coming from was very long, far away. So I left him at the little convenience store, left him with some money in case he could call. He didn't have a phone. And probably about an hour into my drive here, I just said, man, I'm just going to call and see. He'd called 3 different numbers. Nobody was there. And I called, and one of the numbers finally picked up, and I says, ma'am, I said, you don't know me. My name's Randy Thornton. I'm a pastor from Grace Church. And I picked up a young man on the road. He was walking. He looked very distressed. And she says, yeah, it was my son. And I says, well, I said, he said he was walking with no shoes. He said, well, to be honest, he left the hospital, which is about 2 blocks away. And I says, ma'am, I'm a pastor. I said, what in the world was your son doing walking in the rain with no shoes on? And so, well, you know, he's in a program. I says, has he struggled with some issues? And he says, yes. I said, did he escape from the psych ward at Moore Regional Hospital? And he says, yes, he's in a drug rehab program there. And I says, well, ma'am, can I pray for you and pray for your son? So I prayed over the phone to this lady, which she didn't know me. I didn't know her. But I knew that God was preparing me for this sermon. How many of you know God kind of operates that way? Amen. So this young man's name is Alex. Myself or one of our staff members will go up and visit him in the psych ward. But I prayed with his mother that God would rescue that young boy, and it wasn't by coincidence that God put me there for that time. Now, you know, one of the things you think about Alex, and you know, you want to say, how can the world help Alex? How can America help Alex? You know, Alex, you could tell his teeth were rotted out as a young man. I could tell that he was probably a drug addict because it looked like he was a those that have had long-term meth or one of your more high-powered drugs tends to rot their teeth. And I looked at Alex, and I could immediately tell by the way he responded to me, by his look, by not having shoes on, that this was a young boy whose life was in crisis. You know what we could do as a nation? We could elect an official that maybe would start some programs, drug programs that might help. But how many of you know they have lots of drug programs all over America? And changing the elected official is not going to change that boy's future. You know, maybe we could put some time, effort, and energy into the educational system, and we could educate young people about the effects of drugs. But how many of you know that our school systems, in fact, I see posters, never ever give up. I saw some posters out there, Red Banner Week or something here. It's Drug Awareness Week for schools. And school after school all over North Carolina, all over this nation, are educating young people on the effects of drugs. How many of you know that's not the hope? It's not a government program. It's not an education program. But I will tell you that the hope of the world is not some institution or a program, but is the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before I go forward, I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between being a Christian and being a disciple? The word Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament. The word disciple is used 262 times. In our culture, 87% of America declare, on surveys, 87% of America declare that they are Christian. Now, how many of you work with people? 87% of those people you would say are Christian. They act like Christians, they talk like Christians, they live like Christians. How many of you would say that number is true? Very few people. Even though they would call themselves Christians, there's the biggest 18 inches in the world is from here to here. 87% of America know a little bit about Jesus. And by the way, that number is getting less and less because here at our church in Southern Pines, one of our bigger problems is we have people who are new converts that literally do not know anything about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, except for at Christmas, Santa Claus brings presents. We had one story in one of our new converts, and they just say, what's your favorite Bible story? This is true. A guy says, well, I love the story about baby Jesus putting him in a basket and sending him down the river. That was Moses. How many of you know people don't know Jesus? So, the hope of the world is the message of Jesus Christ, but the hope of the world has been entrusted to the local church. You know, for years and years, in America, what we would do is we would raise up Christians in the local church. We would give them our best support. And then what we'd do is there would be missions organizations all over America, all over the world. And they would say, send us your best and your brightest, those with the greatest potential. Give us your money and we'll go change the world. Now, they didn't say that. But that was what they practiced on a regular basis. Now, in my life, I've been had the fortunate opportunity, not that I was worthy of being there, but two meetings where some of the key strategists of the world, of what God is doing on the planet, were brought into rooms in small group gathering where you could put them in this room or maybe a little larger than this. So the top people from all your major denominations, all your top missions organizations, and they were asked, what is God doing in the world and how can we be more effective at spreading the gospel throughout the world? And so what they did is they took this group of people and they went around each one of them. And what was happening is there were some of these churches that were planting churches. And this was 20 plus years ago. That were sending people all over the world. And this is when they started forming what they call the AD 2000 and the Joshua Project, which is reaching unreached people groups in what they call the 1040 window. And that is where most of the unreached people, unreached, unengaged people who do not know Christ are. That is 10 degrees north, 10 degrees north, 40 degrees north latitude, part of Europe, India, Iran, Iraq, the Middle East. And the millions and millions of unreached people groups. Now, the best indicator for Christ's return to the planet Earth is not famines and floods and earthquakes. The best indicator of Christ's return, it says that the gospel will be preached in every nation. The word nation there is a Greek word called ethnos. It means people groups. So in this meeting years ago, back when the... If you're any familiar with any of the missions things going on, they formed the AD 2000 and the Joshua Project. By the way, you guys don't know it, but our church in Fayetteville, the Manna Church, was the coordinator of the Joshua Project. Now, let me explain what that meant. Back then, they estimated there were close to 20,000, depends on which organization you talk to, 20,000 unreached people groups. That means they didn't have a Bible or a convert or an indigenous church in that ethnos, that people group. Over 20,000 unreached, unengaged people groups. And so our church in Fayetteville partnered and was the coordinator for the Joshua Project. That what they did is they asked churches all over the world to adopt one of these 20,000 unreached people groups. Small churches in Africa, South America, all over the world. And so they asked these churches to adopt that 20,000 unreached, unengaged people groups, help them get a Bible in their language, establish a church, begin to disciple converts, and plant churches in that people group. Is that are we clear there? Now, folks, about a month ago, I was involved in another meeting, and the guys that were the people like the Jesus video has had over 200 million converts since its starting, has the Bible translated into 1,400 different languages, okay? The cool thing is 20 years ago, people said the missions organizations are what's changing the world. Today, what's happened is because of the people with 82,000 and the Joshua Project, people realize that the stewardship of the message of the gospel was not given to a missions organization. Guys, I'm not anti-missions organization. I'm just saying, Jesus entrusted the message of the gospel to the local church. The hope of Leland is residing in the local church. One of those churches that's partnering is Reach Community Church with Pastor Heath and Pastor Daniel and Elder Christ and their families, and you. And what's happened is these churches, that number of 20,000, in this last meeting with some of the key strategists of the world, are saying that right now, with again, there's different organizations. We estimate that that number is down to 485. 20,000 down to 485. And again, the people who are in that room were asked if they would consider adopting part of that 485. Unreached, unengaged people groups in the 1040 window. And any people that do not have that. And so our church partnered with our church in Fayetteville, which is the Manna Church, and we volunteered Heath, by the way, because he's part of us. We're family. We've adopted four of those 485 unreached, unengaged people groups. Your church did. Now, I asked you the question earlier. What's the difference between being a Christian and being a disciple? A Christian is one who has received Christ Jesus as their Savior. And folks, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you may know him here. Again, the 18 inches is you know that you know that you know ends here. Life transformation happens not by knowing him here. Life transformation happens when Christ becomes your Savior. But what's the difference between being a Christian, a person who's truly born again, and being a disciple? A disciple is one, the word disciple again is used 262 times. See, Jesus' followers were called Christians. It wasn't what they were. They didn't come up with that name. It's what other people called them. In America, one of the things that I almost recommend is we don't use, I'm a Christian. Because when you put yourself in a Christian category, you're with the other 87% that know here briefly. Maybe even they use his name in other ways other than praising him. How many of you know that? And so what I try to do is I say, guys, I would rather be known as a follower of Christ or a Christ follower. And what is the difference between a Christian and a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? A disciple is one who's become a fully devoted, committed, and so their walk and their talk match. And they live their life in obedience to a personal relationship with God. How many of you know there's a difference between knowing him here and becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ? And what's happened is the hope of Leland is the local church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God's intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known. See, in this meeting that I was just at, what's happened is they now realize that the local church in Africa, is reaching out to the neighboring tribes that don't have a Bible. Don't have a person in that language group with, and it's the local church that's reaching to the person beside them. You know, Acts chapter 1, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utmost parts. Missions organizations have to a high degree been ineffective at spreading the gospel. But since the 82,000 and Joshua Project, thousands and thousands and thousands of churches are reaching out to those people groups. Now, folks, there's a very good likelihood that in our lifetime, that number, which in the last 20 years went from 20,000 down to 485, and if you have thousands of churches now targeting that 485, there's a possibility with the internet, with social media, with Wycliffe, the Jesus video with Bibles being translated into all kinds of people. We're adopting a tribe in Africa where our church is going to say, we're going to create, through Wycliffe Bible translators, a Bible in that people group. How did we do that one? I sent one of our people that are on missions to a conference, and they says, here's one of the unreached people groups. We don't know of anybody in the world that knows anybody from that tribal group. And one of the guys, one of our military guys says, I have a guy who has been assigned and work with me for the last 20 years, who's from that tribal group. We contacted that gentleman, who's definitely not a Christian believer, and asked him if he would help us in translating the Bible into that people, to that language, and he said he would be glad to. Now, guys, well, don't you think those are like what we call small coincidences? You're going to be a part of that. Now, says in Ephesians that that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known through the church. The church is the steward of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what the best thing for Alex, the young boy in the rain, that we could ever do? Is be a church that's planting churches, that's reaching people, that's sending people like me, sending people like you to show the love of Christ. And we know that the power of the gospel is what changes people's life. Heath turned over the youth ministry to a young man named Brandon DiBianca. Brandon DiBianca's dad is it runs an organization called Teen Challenge in Moore County. Let me give you drug statistics. In America, all the government agencies in the world, the best return that they have for people who go through drug rehab programs, 33%. By the way, those who don't go through a drug rehab program, the best return is 33%. Small wonder. Now, Teen Challenge, which is a discipleship program that introduces young men and young women who are addicted to drug, alcohol, whatever type of substance. They introduce them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, disciple them, help them to get established. Those that finish the program through Teen Challenge, 87% remain drug-free for the rest of their life. What is the difference? It's the power of Jesus Christ to change people's lives. The church has been entrusted with that message. I mean, so far we've gotten to the introduction. Is that okay? The local church, the hope of the world. Let me tell you a little bit of the plight of American church. 87%, again, small wonder. 87, 2 87s here. 87% of the churches in America are under 200. The average church is probably around 150, 75. But there's an epidemic that's sweeping the nation of this United States. It's called the aging of the church. What's happened is to a high degree, the church in America has lost the reason that the church exists. And that is to take the message of the gospel to the world. What's happening is there are churches who, rather than look outward and reach people for Christ, they've looked inward and they've just taken care of what they've got. And so over time, what's happening is thousands and thousands of churches are shutting their doors. I had a young guy I was talking with that was security, and he was saying his mother's church, when she started attending in 1973, she still faithfully goes there. I said she had 13 people on Sunday morning. What's happening is they failed to reach the next generation with the gospel, and the church is dying. How many of you have been in churches with the average color of hair is either none or white? Guys, it's a national epidemic, and the thousands, not hundreds, thousands of churches that will be shutting their doors on a regular basis here in the United States. If we're not real careful, if the church doesn't wake up and see their plight, we'll be like the churches in Europe, which were a large church in the Protestant Reformation. We're filled with thousands and thousands of people. But now, because the church lost the mission of what it was created to do, those same church structures are now filled with Muslim mosques. And the Muslim explosion is happening worldwide. And you and I are on this planet Earth for such a time as this. You know, what is the hope of Leland? It's not better school systems. It's not better government officials. It's not better government programs. But the hope of Leland is the message of Jesus Christ given to this church and to the churches in this community. It's what can change people. It can change cultures. It's happened in America before, and it's the reason why this church exists today. I want to ask, what does this church want to be known for? Do we want to be known because of our theology? And you have good theology. But I would hope people wouldn't even know what your theology is. I do want, you know, it's like skeletons. You need to have good theology, but people don't need to see your theology. You know what they need to see? They need to see people who don't just say they're Christians, but people who are fully devoted followers of Christ, who what they say and what they do matches up. What I would hope, the hope of Leland, is that would people would see this church and go, those people love Jesus. They're the best workers. They're the most dependable people. They're faithful. They work at helping people. When you start having people from other communities, government agencies starting sending people, say, can you help? I love that what Heath has done here in the school. You guys have done an outstanding job representing Jesus to this community, and it's changed the whole attitude about Christians because of the way you guys have served this school. If you can change one school, you can change one neighborhood, you can begin to change your next door neighbor, then we have a hope of impacting this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that this church is known because we love people. They see the character that you're giving, that you guys preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guys, this is a sad statistics in America. The average church sees less than one person. I don't know how you do less than one person. They see less than one person come to know Christ as Savior. Folks, our church last year saw 500 plus people come to Christ. We're going to plant churches. Someday we'll plant a church with Daniel. Guys, our group of churches are going to plant churches. The hope of the world is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ entrusted to the local church. So what should our church look like? Heath, what time do I have? How long have I been preaching? Somebody's got to tell me or I'll go all day long. I've been going 25 minutes. Well, let me tell you what the church should look like. Is that okay? The great commandment is this. There's two things if a church should be known. This is what it should be known for. The great commandment and the great commission. Luke 10:27, and he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Let me stop there. In other words, you as an individual and you as a church should be so in love with Jesus. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Wouldn't you say that's a passionate, sold out, fully devoted follower of Jesus? They see Jesus, they don't see you. And then what happens when you fall in love with Jesus? Jesus' love comes into you. And the story of redemption is he changes our lives because many of us were once the Alexes. We all have a little bit of Alex in us, don't we? And Christ redeemed us because someone took the time to share that love with us. And then what happens is the end of that, and then we'll be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. Is we'll no longer just look at my life as just for me, but my life, because God rescued me, God loved me, has entrusted me with loving my neighbor as though he was my very own person. So the great commandment. The next one is the great commission. Now, how many of you know when you're getting close to dying and you bring your family into the room and you pull them all together, that the words that you say are very important. So one of the last things that Jesus did before he went to the cross to die for your sins and mine is he pulled his disciples together. And this is what he told them. This is the message that he gave them. He says, of all the things that I want you to get a hold of, I've been with you these last 3 years. Actually, he'd been with them years before then, but I've been with Jesus these last 3 years. I want you to get this message. This is the reason that I came. This is what I've called you to do. This is the reason that I'm going to the cross. Jesus came to them and said, all authority, again that word authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What is the very end of the age? The end of the age is when the message of the gospel has been preached to every people group, ethnos group. In our lifetime, in the next 20 years, we will see some of the world's, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I can tell you what's going to happen. Because it says in the last days, these things are happening. And folks, there already are. We've had more famines, more floods, more earthquakes, more upheavals going on in the world today in the last 10 years than all of recorded history. Last year, more people were martyred and put to death for the sake of Jesus Christ than almost all of Christianity combined up to that date. Guys, when I was in that meeting with these different peoples, right now, the explosion of the church in China is unbelievable. It'll probably be the largest church in the world within the next few years. But what's really cool is, again, the guy named Eric Watts, we partner with him, what God is doing in the Middle East. Guys, 2 years ago, I went into Dubai with we met a guy, we call him Henry, who is a converted Muslim cleric. He is planting churches in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, the Middle East. 2 years ago, there were 17,000 house churches. Folks, it's probably doubled since then. You're never going to see that on the news. When I was in this meeting a couple weeks ago, the number of Christians that are being rescued by these different house churches going into these camps or where ISIS is and putting to death Christians, these Christians, these little small house churches are going and rescuing thousands and thousands, which you're never going to see on the news. Guys, right now, the greatest move of God in the Middle East since New Testament times is happening right now. We're involved in helping planting churches in Nepal. How they're doing it is sex trafficking. Nepal, right on the border of Nepal. What they're doing, we're working with a brother there, KI Nepal, planting churches. How they do it is they go in. Last year, they rescued 22,000 young girls that were being sold into sex trafficking. Some of them already sold, some of them being sold. Many of these girls, their families won't accept them. Many of them, their families were the ones that sold them into the trade to just stay alive. It's heart-wrenching if you go over there. But guys, what they do is they take these young girls, they put them in safe houses, they start discipling them, training them, equipping them, training them in job skills. They send these little girls back into the communities where they were rescued. And there's over 22,000 house churches in Nepal. 20 years ago, there were less than 100 believers in Nepal. Today, there are thousands and thousands. It just starts going beyond, it goes viral. Isn't that cool? In India, guys, the gospel is exploding. Now people are sending missionaries to America because we're considered one of the unchristian nations. Isn't that a sad state? But not on our turf. I remember when Heath was praying about should he come to Leland. There was another pastor in our group of churches that said, hey, I feel called to Leland or Wilmington. And Heath's going, well, Randy, I thought God told me, am I sure? I said, Heath, you need to go and you seek God, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does or does not do. You go spend time. And so Heath went, and he went into the woods, and he spent time seeking God. He fasted, and he says, man, I know that God's called me to Leland. And what Reach Church is going to do is we're going to make Brunswick County an easy place to go to heaven and a hard place to go to hell. Amen? Amen? Guys, you have a great pastor. He's committed to the advancement of the gospel. He's pouring into Trevor, and he's pouring into these young people. He's pouring into this. And what we want you to do is, let me ask you right now, if true revival, Acts chapter 1 revival, was to fall in Brunswick County, could the church sustain it? I'm going to give you an answer. No. And let me tell you why. Because I believe the church has lost its understanding of how to do church. is because this is the typical American church where it's full of people who with white hair who are dying within the next few years and shutting their doors. This is why. It's because their understanding of the ministry is one guy who does all the marrying, all the burying, all the teaching, all the preaching, and a few people serve in the church, maybe do Sunday school, and are asked to give. How many of you have been in churches like that? Now, the reason they're under 200 is because one guy can handle that, but if they get older, they can handle less. You know, you lose some when you get older, right?
Amen.
You know what the early church did? His Ed met with Jesus. He poured into the 3, the 12, the 70, the 120. They didn't even have the New Testament written yet for the first 70 years. All they had was what Jesus had done with them. And when in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit fell, they just did what Jesus did. Because right now, if the Holy Spirit fell on Brunswick County, most people are going to say, let's have a meeting, let's try to hold all these people, these thousands and thousands of people, and one or two people doing the ministry. But see, that isn't how the New Testament church operated. The early church was, everybody met together in the large group gathering and from house to house. See, every member of the church saw it as their responsibility to be involved in ministry serving and meeting in their homes so that people in their homes who were brand new followers of Jesus were leading people to Jesus, who were leading people to Jesus. In China, the number of people, how long have you been saved? Well, I've got 3 house churches under me. How long have you been saved? Oh, about 4 months. Now, guys, it's ridiculous. How does the gospel spread, Bible? It's when every member starts seeing themselves as a minister of the gospel. And everybody realizes that God gives you gifts, charis, the word grace, charismatis, grace, gifts. Guys, the church in third world countries, they have to trust God for miracles. By the way, Jesus is still the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God wants you filled with his power. He just doesn't want you weird. Does that make sense? I want to challenge you as a church. Get involved in 2 things. Get involved in serving in some capacity here in what God is doing. I believe establishing leadership and the development of leadership in this church is key for this church growing. And it's not about numbers, but it is about reaching people for Christ. And you can't do it without it. How many of you know there's a book in the Bible called Numbers? How many of you have a couple children, more than a couple children? Someone with, how about 4 kids, 5 kids?
You got 3.
You got 3? What's your last kid's name?
Our last kid.
Yeah.
Hudson.
I have a grandson named Hudson. Let me ask. We come to a church meeting. The two of the boys are there. It's time to go. You go, well, you know what? Let's just go. Hudson, he really doesn't matter. We can find another one. How many of you know that number matters?
Yeah.
To mom. To dad, right?
Yeah, Grandma.
Grandma. Guys, how many of you know there are people here in Leland and Brunswick County that don't know Jesus? And the reason the church is here is to reach the Hudsons. And to him, God wants to... There's going to be a day when he sent his church and there are people that are yet to know Christ. There's going to be a day when God says, today is the day, and he's going to call us to account and we're all going to go be with our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And there'll be no other opportunity. Now, I don't know. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe God knows. But he has not told me, and therefore he's told me, go tell people about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to train leaders, and we're going to plant churches all over the place. This church is going to train leaders, and they're going to plant churches all over the place. There'll be a day when this church plants many churches. Because they're training leaders now to be trained leaders to train leaders. So get involved serving. Get involved in a small group. Life happens. Transformation happens best in the context of a small group. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. Get committed. Get involved. And I promise you, guys, this church will explode. Why? is because they're doing it God's way. Guys, you're a healthy church. Jesus left the 99, about what you guys got now, 99, and he sent the one out to find the lost sheep. The reason Jesus could send the one out is because the church was well taken care of. They were well shepherded. They were safe. They were protected. But folks, if we just take care of what we have and we don't reach those that don't know Christ, then this church too will become less hair and white and die. But if you'll start reaching people for Christ, you know that 48% of all people who make a decision for Christ do so before the age of 14. 85%. I love that you guys have lots of young families. But guys, we need older people with white hair and less hair pouring in and mentoring. We need to be a church for the whole family. But folks, this church has to reach down, because 85% of the people that are going to make decisions for Christ. And by the way, if you have your kids serving in church, they're more likely that when they grow up to stay in church and stay engaged serving God. So parents, get your kids serving, get involved in small group, and let's prepare for God to pour out his Spirit and become, when God says, I'm looking for a church, I want to pour out my Spirit, we have hundreds and hundreds of Lelandites, Reachites, that are saying, God, here we are, send us. Amen?
Amen.
Heath?
I'm going to get our worship team to come back up. Look, here is a golden opportunity for you. We can continue to do church like church has been done in the United States, and will continue to be a place that other countries will send their people to introduce us to Jesus, or we as a church can take responsibility. And I just want to, as we close here, for you to understand whether this is your third year being here with us or whether it's your first week, that our goal is to get you into position that you are leading people to life. And I don't want that to make you afraid, be like, well, I don't know anything yet. Let us help you there. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go into worship. And maybe today you're sitting here for whatever reason and you've never experienced Jesus. And maybe right now you've never experienced the life. I spent 18 years attending local churches, and nothing against those churches, but I spent 18 years filled with information about Jesus, but no relationship with Jesus until I was asked, is it knowledge or is it life? And if there isn't life connected to it, then here's the simplicity of it. Jesus came and did what you could not do to give you life, and to give you life to the full. You are, all of us without Jesus are without hope. And Jesus came to give us hope. So if there's fear right now, if there's anxiety right now, if there's things in your life that are controlling you, Jesus has come to give you freedom from those things. And so as we close during our last song, one of the main reasons we have a song at the end is not to keep you here 3 minutes longer. It is to give you an opportunity to go, God, what are you asking of me today? Because God is always asking from you. It doesn't end. It's not like, okay, I'm involved. I love Jesus. It's every day for the rest of your life as you pursue Jesus that he's going to go, here's what I need from you today. He wants to be connected to you so that he can send you into the world. So I'm going to pray. We're going to worship, and then we'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that you have believed in your bride even more than we do. And Lord, we thank you that you have called the local churches, and not just Reach, but all these other churches that are meeting here, that are preaching the gospel, that are proclaiming your world, that are, word, that are going out into their neighborhoods, that they're serving our community. Lord, I just pray right now that you would allow people outside of these churches to see the gospel for what it is. And Lord, I just want to repent from really stupid, me at times too, really stupid Christians that have proclaimed a truth without loving people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just allow this community to be loved by your truth, by your word, loved by your church. And Lord, I pray that truth and grace would abound. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us grace. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room that, Lord, they want life, Lord, I pray that you would just encounter them, Lord, as we worship you. And, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would give us all vision this week. Give us all eyes to see those that are hurting and wounded. Lord, that you're going to give words of life to be poured out of us into them. So we just pray these things in your Son's mighty name.